You know that passage where it says that the Sadducees came to Jesus and said to him, you know, a man had, you know the story, I don't need to turn to it. A man had a number of brothers and he died, and then the second brother married his wife according to the Jewish law. Then he died and the third one married and so on. And then it goes on to say the Sadducees were trying to tempt Jesus because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels or spirits or any such thing. And that's the leaven of the Sadducees, unbelief. Unbelief in the clear teachings of Scripture. And you see a lot of it in Christendom, in the church. That's the leaven of the Sadducees. They couldn't believe in the supernatural. They believed in God, but they couldn't believe in the resurrection or miracles or things like that. And you know, it's possible, dear brothers and sisters, for you to be so theologically accurate in everything. Yeah, I believe this. This is true. Jesus died for the sins of the world, and Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe all that. But I don't believe he can ever do a miracle. I mean, all those things like, if there's a mountain in your way, tell it to move, and if you have faith, it will move. No, 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 those things don't work today. Have you ever seen a mountain move which stood in the way of your doing the will of God? I've seen it numerous times. And if I didn't have faith, I would be sitting behind those mountains today. I believe a lot of believers are sitting behind mountains that should be getting out of their way. God can do amazing things. Unbelief in the mighty power of God. All anxiety and fear comes because of unbelief in the almighty power of God. You have a problem? Who in the world doesn't have problems? You say, mine's a big one. Bigger than Almighty God? This is the mistake the Israelites made when they came to Canaan. The giants were so tall and their God was so small. It's not only like they said, we're like grasshoppers. Their God was like a grasshopper too. And that's why God was angry with them. Say, you treat me like a grasshopper before these giants? You will never enter the land, all 600,000 of you. But two people, Joshua and Caleb, they looked at those giants and they looked at God, and those giants became like grasshoppers. God said, you folks honored me. You'll get into the land. It's like that today. 2 out of 600,000 believers are free from anxiety and fear. How many believers have you seen who can testify that by the grace of God, he's freed me from anxiety and fear? Now, isn't there a word which says be anxious for nothing? Shall I tell you what nothing means? Nothing. It's exactly what it means. Be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6. Is it possible in the difficult world in which we live? I think of our little children growing up. Today I see my little grandchildren. And I say, boy, their parents are going to have a tougher time than I had when I brought up my children 30, 40 years ago. And I see many of you with little children. The way the world is going, don't you have some concerns? I love that song which says, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because the one who has tomorrow in his hands is Almighty. The Sadducees had unbelief. And there's a lot of unbelief in the church where you make your problems bigger than God. But your doctrines are all right. And you praise okay on Sunday morning. But you don't believe in the almighty power of God. The picture the Lord's given me many times, and I like to remind myself of it, and I've shared it with you perhaps more than once, is of a little ant these small little ants you see in the house, you know, carrying a grain of rice to their little hole wherever they live. And if that ant could speak to me and say, Brother Zach, can you help me, this load of rice, this one grain of rice is pretty heavy. I say, it's no problem for me. Oh, it's heavy. You don't know what I'm asking you for. I say, I can take a bag of rice, leave alone a grain of rice. But it's a long distance. It's about 30 meters. 30 meters? What are you talking? I can take it 1 kilometer for you, even though I'm 71. He says, it's heavy. That's the picture the Lord's given me. Me taking my wee teeny weeny problem to Almighty God, saying, God, can you handle this? This guy is trying to trouble me. I have this problem in the office. I have this problem with my landlord or my in-laws or my sickness or some other thing. It's a little grain of rice. I'm like an ant saying, Almighty God, can you handle it? He who runs the universe, keeps the stars in place and makes the planets rotate in their orbits for thousands of years. I'm asking him whether he can solve this. And unbelief, just like the Sadducees in the almighty power of God. Unbelief is also unbelief in the perfect love of God. You know, when God doesn't answer some prayer, and you become a little upset or bitter, the devil comes and says, well, God doesn't have time for you. He's got a million things to take care of. Who are you? I say, I'm very important to God because I'm his child. He's my father. He's my dad. Do you know God is your dad? Can you sit on his lap and say, Daddy, I'm secure because you take care of all the problems I may face in the future. You love me. And even when I bungle up, supposing your child breaks something in the house, even if it's deliberately, you know, children can get angry and break something. He never has a fear that my dad will kick me out of the house, send me out into the streets. But I see so many believers living under condemnation. Oh, I slipped up. I did it again. I don't know whether God has any time for me. I'm a hopeless case. Well, it's a good thing you discovered you're a hopeless case. You are, I agree with you. But God still loves you. God still loves you. He came for hopeless cases, like me, number one example. And he changed me because he loved me. That's the thing that changed me from an insecure young man to one who found security in the love of God, in recognizing that he loved me as much as he loved Jesus. That's faith. You remember what the Lord told Peter? You're going to deny me 3 times, but I'm not going to pray you won't deny me. I'm going to pray that after you deny me, that's needed for you, Peter. You're too proud. You need to be broken. And I think only when you deny me 3 times, you'll be broken permanently. Because you think too much of yourself right now. So I'm not going to pray you won't deny me. I'll tell you a lot of things the Lord will not pray that doesn't happen to you. It should happen to you because there's pride and he wants to break it. And that's what prepared Peter for the day of Pentecost. You know that on the day of Pentecost when he did that fantastic work of bringing 3,000 Jews to Christ in one day. I don't know if anybody in the history of humanity has brought 3,000 Jews to Christ in one day. It is a fantastic thing. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And one day, boy, he could have thought and people patted him on his back and said, Peter, you're a great guy. He would always remember how he denied Jesus 3 times. That breaking solved his pride problem forever. He needed it. So Jesus never prayed that he would not deny. It was his preparation for Pentecost. But he said, after you deny me and you hit rock bottom, when you get there, remember one thing. I still love you. God still loves you. That's the meaning of don't lose your faith. I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Doesn't matter even if you deny me, but don't lose your faith. When you hit the bottom, trust God that he still loves you. So you made a mess of your life, but he still loves you. If you lost faith, you've lost everything. If you've made a mess of your life, that's okay. There's still hope for you. But if after making a mess of your life, you lose faith, that's the leaven of the Sadducees. And the devil's just waiting at that time to fill you with the leaven of the Sadducees' unbelief. God doesn't love you.